Rockabye Baby in the treetop. When the wind blows the, when the bough breaks, the cradle will fall and down will come baby, cradle and all. One writer summed up life this way. They said that life can be seen in three phases. You're either going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Well, since it looks like we're at some point in the storm, the question must be asked, what do you do when the bough breaks? What do you do when the bough breaks? What happens in your life when that happens? What do you do when the walls cave in on you and the roof collapses down on you and the floor gives way beneath you? What do you do when you're on your way to work and you have four flats, the spare tire is dry rotting, and you run out of gas? What do you do when everything you seem to touch seems to break or fall apart? Everything you try doesn't seem to work out. What do you do when humiliation and humiliation and disappointment invade your home? What do you do when the twins of despair, hopelessness, and helplessness invade your sanity and try their best to drive you out of your mind? Just what do you do? Well, now, I know that I live here in Southern California, and we're just a few miles from Loma Linda, and we live in this idyllic society where none of us have problems. So I know this may not be the sermon for you, but, you know, because none of us have problems and none of us have ever been in a storm and everything has always gone right, and we have a silver spoon in one hand and a golden fork in the other. So it may not be for you, but there's someone watching us this morning that it may just be for them. Somebody listening that is for them. And if you're honest with yourself, it might just be for you too, because we all have problems and we all struggle and we all need help to get through some difficult times in our lives. So I just came this morning to tell you two things. One, trouble don't last always. And two, that this too shall pass. Which brings me to my text, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you is the promise that God gives us. For the next few moments, I just want to look at the subject with you, when the bough breaks. Won't you pray with me? Father, now we come before you standing here, knowing that it is your time to speak into our lives. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You see, when the bough breaks, you want to bring life to a rushing halt. When the bough breaks, it feels as if you have been hit by a semi and run over by a train. When the bough breaks, it feels like you've been ripped apart at the seams. You have been launched into the dark abyss, and you have been separated from reality and left into bewilderment and wandering around trying to figure out what happens now. When the bough breaks, you feel so all alone. So what do you do? Here we go. I got three things for you. Here's the first one. You ready? Number one, stand on the promises of Jesus. When your world feels like it's falling apart, stand on the promises of Jesus. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to stop right there. That's a whole sermon by itself. Let not your heart be troubled. In fact, when you read that text in the original language, in the Greek, it says, stop letting your heart trouble you. It goes further. When you examine it further, you realize that it's an emphatic phrase which simply means you stop. You stop letting your heart trouble you. You stop letting things get the best of you. You stop allowing things to bring you down. You stop letting your heart trouble you. The unknown poet put it this way. The unknown poet said, worry, why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps trouble from overtaking you. Worry, why worry? It gives you indigestion and it gives you wakeful hours at night. It fills your days with gloom, and however fair and bright, it puts a frown on your face and a sharpness in your tone. It makes you unfit to live with others and unfit to live alone. Worry? Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps trouble from overtaking you. Pray? Why pray? What can praying do? You see, praying really changes things anew. It's good for indigestion, and it gives you peaceful rest at night. It fills the grayest, gloomiest days with rays of glowing sunlight. It puts a smile on your face and a love note in your tone. It makes you fit to live with others, and it makes you fit to live alone. Pray. Why pray? What can praying do? It brings God down from heaven to live and to work with you. But we often worry about things that we can't do anything about. And we worry about stuff that we can't fix and that we can't change. And we worry ourselves to death. My grandmother used to say, boy, you're going to worry yourself to death. Well, there's a lot of truth in that statement, because the word worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means to choke. So when we worry, we are literally choking ourselves to death. So if you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? You see, it has to be one or the other. It can't be both, because worry and faith are incompatible. S.T. Ludwig put it this way. He put it this way. He said, if your faith is strong, you will not have to worry. But if it's weak, worrying won't help it. Jesus said it this way, stop letting your heart trouble you. Why, you ask? Because if you believe in God, then you believe in me. Perhaps that's the root of worry, unbelief. Unbelief is the root of worry. Yeah. Because if you believe, then you don't have heart trouble. But if you don't believe, every time something goes wrong, you start worrying and you begin choking the very life out of yourself. So the Bible says, stop letting your heart trouble you. I will come again and I'll take you to be with me. In fact, I'll take you to be in the place I prepared for you. That's a promise that God made to us. So don't worry about it. He'll soon be here, and it won't matter after all. It won't matter after a while that your bills are so high you can't see the top of them. It won't matter after all that your debt is so deep that you can't. I'm sorry, maybe that's just me. Y'all don't have those problems. I'll just preach to myself. Preach, preacher. It won't matter that you got bills that you can't pay and that you have debt you can't get out of, because when Jesus comes, it won't matter at all. When Jesus comes, everything will be made right. The crooked will be straight. The rough will be plain. The evil will be no more. Amen. I'm waiting for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for Jesus to come. You see, it was the slave that understood this concept. The slave understood the concept because they were saying, sooner we'll be done with the troubles of the world, going home to live with God. Here's the promise. Watch this. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. You see, you must remember this. The circumstances will never outweigh your ability to handle them. Therefore, whatever you go through, God knows that you can make it through it. If not, he wouldn't have allowed you to be in it. Think about this. Y'all looking at me strange. Job chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible teaches us that the devil has to ask God for permission before he does anything to us. Amen. Here's your promise. Your problems will never outweigh his promises. Hold on to that one. Your problems will never outweigh the promises of God, because you will always have the ability to handle whatever whatever he gives to you. Watch this. If you only have 10 pounds of ability to handle stress and problems and difficulty, God will only allow you to have 10 pounds of trouble. If you only have 10 pounds of faith, you cannot have 11 pounds of trouble because he will not give you more than you can. I'm so glad God knows what I can deal with and what I can't. You see, God may allow you to come to it, but we must determine how we go through it. Think about this. When they brought King David the bad news, the Bible says that David went into his house, he washed, and then he went to worship. Think about this. When the bad news came to Thomas Dorsey, he sat down and he penned the words, "Precious Lord, take my hand." When the news came to Horatio Spafford of the death of his family, he sat down while standing on the ship where it was, when peace like a river, and he penned the words, "It is well with my soul." God may allow it to come to you, but know if he allows it to come to you, he has already seen you through it. It is just up to you how you make the journey. He never allows you to have more than you can bear. Remember this. Your burden is proportional to your strength. Your burden is proportional to your strength. So you may go through the fire and you may go through the flood. You may be broken in pieces and you might even see light from above. But remember, he loves you and cares for you, and he will never give you more than you can bear. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you." You know cast, to cast something, to throw it, to hurl it, to fling it, to shed it, to discard it, to get it out of your hands where it is no longer under your control, where it is outside of your reach. There are things in life that we should take our hands off of and let God handle them. Because you know how it is, the longer we hold it, the more we worry about it. And the more we worry about it, the more concerned we become about it. And the more concerned we become about it, the harder it looks like we will ever make it through it. I just came to tell you this morning, take your hand off of it and throw it to him, because he cares for you. Well, you know how it is. When the bow breaks, we should get rid of the problem. We should take our hands off of it. But yet somehow we kind of go back and get that thing. And we hold on to it, and I know I gave it to you, God, but I think I can work it out by myself this time. And we go back and get it, and we hold on to it, and it causes us to be awake at night, and we become insomniacs. And we find ourselves counting sheep. Well, I got news for you this morning. Here's your solution. Stop counting sheep and start talking to the shepherd. I'm not telling you about something I read in the book. Not telling you about something I heard. I'm telling you what I know. There was a time in my life I would wake up at, now I'm the person, if I wake up in the middle of the night, within 2 or 3 minutes, I'm back asleep. Time in my life, I would wake up every morning at 2:50. And I laid there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I was like, okay, I need to go back to sleep. And it was 6 minutes later, and I knew something was wrong, because it was 6 minutes later, and I was still awake. And so I start doing strange, I start trying to, think about different stuff, what's going on. And the Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you talk to Jesus? God, everything going on pretty good with me." He said, "Not about you, about somebody else." So I began to pray for people that I did not know in places that I had never been. "God, I don't know who it is, but somebody needs you right now." And you know what happened? I was out. The next night, 2:50, I woke up the same thing. I waited about 2 or 3 minutes, nevertheless, okay, maybe I need to pray. And so I started praying. "Father, it may be somebody who just was called to the emergency room. Some mother is going to the hospital for their child. Somebody's in jail." And I just began to pray sporadic prayers for sporadic people. And I did that for 3 nights. You know what happened the 4th night? I didn't wake up at 2:50 in the morning. There's something amazing that happens when you start concentrating and focusing on somebody else's problem. You soon realize 2 things. 1, mine is not as bad as I thought it was. 2, it could be a whole lot worse. So now when I wake up in the middle of the night, what do I don't even wait 3 minutes. I just start praying for people. I live in Loma Linda, and so whenever I hear the whirling of the helicopter, I start praying. Because as my physician friend, my surgeon friend told me, that's never a good sign. Something traumatic is happening, so I just start praying. You waking up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep? Start talking to the shepherd. Start interceding for someone else. And watch how the peace comes over you, calms your spirit, and you can rest. Because David said, he leads me beside still waters. That's peace. Because when you talk to the shepherd, you can have real peace. You can have peace that passes all understanding. A wise man told me this one day. He said, know God, no peace. But if you know God, you will know peace. The Bible puts it this way. Jeremiah 29:13, and if you seek me and find me, if you search for me with all your heart. The late C.R. Brooks used to sing, if with all your hearts ye truly seek me, you shall surely ever find me, thus saith the Lord. This is peace that the Bible says that passes all understanding. It's a peace that only you can understand. Those around you may not, because they can't figure out how it is with everything that's going on in your life, you can still hold your head up. They're trying to figure out how it is that you have a smile on your face when you should be crying. They don't know how it is that your shoulders are still square when everything else is falling apart in your life. It's because they don't understand that you have peace that passes all understanding. Well, that's one way. God says, I will give you peace and keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. So we need to focus in on Christ. Now, if you've been around me any longer than about 2 minutes, you know that I love photography, and I love cameras, and I love lenses. And we all know that a lens will do one thing. It will focus. But a lens will do something else. It will focus so that you can get crisp focus. But the other thing it does, a lens has an aperture inside of there that will open and close to allow light in or to keep light out. Now, here's the amazing thing about that. If you have a large aperture where the lens aperture is open wide, what you have then is you will have a shallow depth of field. Now, here's what that simply means. It means that if you focused on me, everything in front of me and everything behind me is out of focus. It's blurry. And oftentimes in our Christian experience, we have a shallow depth of field. It's a shallow depth of field because we can't see the past difficulties and triumphs, nor can we see the future overcomings. All we see is the present demise. Oh, poor me. I don't know why this happened to me. Only the bad things happen to me. Whenever things seem to be going good, I know something bad is going to come. But the other side is of that is if you have a small aperture, you have a small aperture, you have a large depth of field. So take the same illustration. If you focused on me, what that says is that everything in front of me is clearly in focus and everything behind me is clearly in focus. And when you look at that in your Christian experience, it reminds you that there have been some victories in the past and there'll be some victories in the future. I don't have to worry about what's happening right now. Ellen White bears this out because she says, we have nothing to fear for the future except we what? Forget how God has led us in his teachings and in our past. Ah, there it is, there it is, there it is. You see, as long as you remember that he worked it out yesterday, you can be assured that it's going to be worked out for tomorrow. As long as you stop and think about the last time I was in trouble, God fixed it, then you can be assured that I know he's in trouble right now, but God can work it out. The song says, when I think about Jesus And all he's done for me, my soul cries out. I dare you sometime just to stop and think about Jesus. Just stop and think about the goodness of God. Just stop and think about all that he's done for you. It's going to be hard for you to contain yourself when you stop and think about where you were and where you are now. There are times that I stop and think about Jesus and I get choked up. And as my wife says, my allergies begin to act up and tears begin to run down my face. And then there are times I think about Jesus that I get involuntary muscles in my legs begin to move and my hands begin. Because when you stop and think about how good God is when we don't deserve it, there's nothing about us that God should be good to us. When we come to the realization that there's nothing about us that God should be good to us, every time you stop and think about something that good happened to you, you'll thank God. I don't know why you did it for me, but I'm accepting it, and I'm oh so glad. When you think about Jesus and all that he's done for you, your soul will cry out, hallelujah. So we need to sharpen our focus on Jesus. And here's the other one. You need to focus on Christ and not the crisis. Stop looking at the problem and start looking at the solution. Forget about the difficulty and realize how good it's going to be when God works it out. I don't know, maybe you've never been in trouble, so that might not mean anything. Maybe you never had any difficult time. Here we go. Can I tell you? I'm going to just tell you one. My conference president came to me many, many years ago and said, we're going to send you to the seminary. And my response to him was, I don't want to go. Well, we're going to send you anyway. So the agreement I made with God is, well, God, this is on you. I didn't ask to come here. I didn't want to come here. You're sending me. It's all on you. Because here's what I knew. When I went to the seminary, I would go from 100% salary to 25% salary, some crazy number. But I still had 100% of my bills. So when they would come, and I would open them up. I'd say, well, God, here's a little bit of money I have. There's tithe, there's rent, there's car note. Oops, there's tithe and there's car note. I'm sorry, that's all we had. And we need money for rent. And so I said, well, God, that's on you. That one on you. I don't know how we're going to pay rent, but that's on you. Let me tell you how good God is. Can I tell you how good God is? We were at Andrews for 2.5 years. And that's what, 30 months, something like that? Of the 30 months, I paid rent. You ready for this? 6 times. They would send me a note from the office. I would go over to the office. They say, you know, your rent's behind 3 months. Yes, I know. Well, what's your plan? I don't have one. It's on God. They say, son, I believe in God, but I also believe in money. How are you going to pay your rent? I have no idea. It's on God. And I leave. Well, son, you got to pay rent. Ma'am, I have $40. I need $20 to put gas in the car for my wife because she's got to go to work. You can have the other 20. I was on campus one day, and someone came and said, there's a young lady looking for you. I said, there's no young ladies on campus looking for me. And so she's looking for you. No, he ain't looking for me. I got home, and my wife, if you know my wife, she's reserved. And she's calm. And she's serene and tranquil. Well, she was bouncing off the walls. I knew something had gone wrong. What is this? She's bouncing off the walls, and she's trying to explain it, and she couldn't explain it, and she kept pointing at the table. I went to the table and I looked at it and it was a check, but I didn't I read the numbers and I knew what it meant, but I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. You see, prior to that, she had worked for a company. And when she moved to Michigan, she started working for someone else and they laid her off. And they contested her unemployment because the company that she was working for, she made more than where she was there, and they would have to pay her on that rate. So she gets this check and she's bouncing off the wall because the unemployment check was twice as much as she was making at the job. I started jumping because I can now pay rent. We can buy a little bit of food. When you think about the goodness of Jesus. So now when I get bills, God worked it out before. I don't know how, but he's going to work this one out. I got $12. I got $18 worth of bills. He did it before. He'll do it again. Whatever the situation is in your life, whatever the storm is, remember he worked it out the last time. He'll work it out this time. He fixed it before, he'll fix it again. Because God's promises always outweigh your problems. So, remember that particular thing. Here's another one I got to give you. I got to give you this one. Focus on Christ and not the crisis. You got that one. Number one. Not only must you stand on the promises of Jesus, but number two, you must situate yourself on the shoulders of others who've been there, who've done that, who have come out victorious. You have to get with someone who has walked down that same alley and dealt with that same demon who has come out better. Situate yourself on the shoulders of someone who has been there and done that and come out victorious. Hebrews 13:7 says, considering the end of their ways. Ask them, how did they make it over the hurdle? How did they come through the darkness? How did they get out of the valley? How did they get around that bend? Now, when you see someone and hear or discover that someone is going through something, don't talk about them. Help them. And if you can't help them, pray for them. You see, when you see somebody down, don't put your foot on them and snort. I know that wouldn't happen here in Azure Hills. Nobody would put their foot on the neck of someone and hold them down. I'm sorry, but there are other people who would. And you may know somebody who would, so you can share this with them. Don't stomp them into the ground. You know how it is. You know how it is. I told you so. Man, that sure was dumb. What in the world were you even thinking about? You should have known better. Now you know that haste makes waste. Instead, reach down and give them a helping hand. Help them up and out of that situation. Give them a better perspective. Tell them that you don't understand it, that you may not be able to relate, but ask them, is there anything that I can do to help? You see, you don't have to have gone through the same situation as somebody else to help them. But if you have, I got three words for you. Here they go. Feel, felt, and found. Three words. I understand how you feel. Sympathize with them because I felt the same way. Share your experience. Become vulnerable with them. Show them how difficult it was for you. Until I found, and then give them what worked for you. Tell them how Jesus gave you a roadmap, how he worked it out, how he showed you how to maneuver. Tell them what things not to do. You see, we must bend down so that others can get up, so that they can stand on our shoulders to obtain a better view. You see, because on your shoulders means that you will carry them when they need to be carried. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. It means that when they need to get some fresh air, you'll take a walk with them. When they need to get a different perspective, you will show them a ray of light. So bend down so they can get up. Let go of your pride. Let go of the view of yourself. Bend down so they can get up. Let them know that they are not the only ones to ever go through that situation. When people are in trouble, they just want to know that somebody cares. You've heard the statement, you've heard it, that people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So number one, stand on the promises of Jesus. Number two, situate yourself on the shoulders of others who've been there and done that. And then number three, shout it from the mountaintop. You see, when you have made it over, let others know of your victory, because your testimony gives strength to the weak and the faint of heart. Give them courage that they can face another day. Give them confidence that they can make it through the storm. You will remember that Jesus, when he healed people, he often told them, now go and tell your family and friends what good things God has done for you. He told them, go testify, because your testimony gives strength to someone who's struggling. So when you overcome the battle, tell someone that you've been through the fire and that you've been through the flood. Tell them that you've broken in pieces, but look at you now. You see, because the greatest testament to the goodness of God is a changed life. Just go back where you used to hang out and let them see you. They'll see a different person. They will ask, how did you do that? Can you tell me how to do that? And you can share Jesus with them. You see, Jesus told Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. When you get the victory, or you get out from under the cloud, or you get your chin above the water, you get your life back in order, tell someone how you did it. Tell them that if they put their life in Jesus' hands, that he can fix it. Tell them they don't have to worry and don't have to be afraid, because joy comes in the morning. Tell them that trouble doesn't last always, for there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe their tears away. And if their heart is broken, they can lift their hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. Tell them that when tests and trials come, that Jesus is the one to see them through. And then shout it from the mountaintop. Shout it from the mountaintop that you made it through the storm, that there's no more cloudy days, that they're all gone. Shout it from the mountaintop that I feel like I can make it, that the storm is over. Shout it from the mountaintop, I've been in the valley, but now I'm on my way to the promised land. Shout it from the mountaintop, I've come this far by faith, no turning back, no turning back. Shout it from the mountaintop that Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. What do you do when the bow breaks, when your world falls apart? Stand on the promises of Jesus. Situate yourself on the shoulders of others who've been there, and then shout it from the mountaintop.